Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, right here on MSG+. On a Monday night, it's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin. If you're just tuning in for the first time tonight, this is where we not only present sports to you, but we bet sports and we live bet sports, and we let you know everything that we do bet and the reasons why we bet what we bet. Kind of a reflection of how, you know, millions of Americans, tens of millions, actually take in their sport, their sports. Kelly, you made a wager while we were talking up here, and you didn't share it with anybody, but would you like to share it now?
I mean, this is like his new thing.
Does this count when you get to do this?
This is his new thing. He likes to place bets behind the glass over there.
Yeah. I was very aware that I probably shouldn't count it towards a show bet. You guys were in the middle of, in the final minutes of going through the NFL recap in the first segment, so it was unnatural to butt in, but I am on UNC -4.5 after they went down 14-0. I believe to start the game to UNLV, so it was a quick trigger decision. I had to go.
On this little three shot right here, Gil, we should also point out, we can assure you, Kelly is not an actual ghost. He is not an actual ghost. He's not transparent. Like, yeah, he has pigment and everything in his skin. I promise.
Does look ghosty.
Yeah, I think that's a shot at the cameras. My lack of a tan and both combined, Gil.
We should do that from now. We should be in the middle of a conversation. You'd be like, hey guys, North Carolina now -4, just randomly. Before we get to a little more in depth on the Seahawks and the Eagles, because it is coming up fast, let's do fruit baskets.
Love it.
This is what we do. We all make wagers all weekend long, and sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. Hopefully, we win more than we lose. That's the point here. But sometimes when we win, it's courtesy of the help of someone special, and we just like to recognize those people. Here, Matt Brown, you get honors, Your Honor.
Yeah, I would like to send my fruit basket this week to the entire quarterback room for the Denver Broncos. And also, another smaller fruit basket goes out to NFL beat writers, because this news broke, and they tipped me off. And I was able to get in one of the biggest bets I've made in a few years on information, which was pretty great. And I would like to give, you know, the big, huge fruit basket. Like, I need a triple one because there's a lot of you guys. But to the Broncos quarterback room for not following protocol and allowing this to allowing this situation to play out the way that it did, allowing me to get the Saints at -6 before the news was confirmed that you were all going to be out for being naughty little boys. And I was able to do that as it was reposted at 15.
As always with this stuff, I got all the way to 7 in favor of the Saints. As always with this stuff, we'd like to imagine Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll, Blake Bortles, and Brett Rypien all receiving this fruit basket and wondering what their reaction would be. You're giving us what for what?
Who gets the grapes? Who gets? Yeah, they got stuff to split up, Matt. It's okay.
But you beat writers out there, you're doing the Lord's work. I'm telling you for sure.
The Lord's work. Yeah. Were those your fruit baskets?
That's it. Yeah, that's all I need for this week.
All right, you look great in that lumberjack shirt, by the way, Matt. Nicely done. Mine is similar. Mine goes out, and again, I really don't like how that shirt fits me. mine goes out to Roger Goodell, largely for the same reason that you are speaking of. But for me, it's Roger Goodell adhering to, and I know there's a lot of stuff out there about people saying, oh, how can they treat the Broncos differently than they treat the Ravens? It's not the same thing. First of all, it was the Broncos' fault. But the other thing is, what happened to the Broncos is the exact same thing that happened to Big Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Stafford for the Steelers and Lions, respectively. They were not the positives. They were placed on COVID-19 reserve lists because of being in contact with a positive. Jeff Driscoll being the person that the other three quarterbacks were in contact with here, not adhering to the protocol of the masks. So remember, Stafford before Lions game and Big Ben last week or a couple weeks ago before Steelers game had to get 5 straight negatives. We talked about it on the show before they were allowed to play football. They were lucky enough to have it so early in the week that they were able to get those tests in and be cleared. The Broncos were not so close to game time. And so therefore, there was really no thought at all, even though that's what you heard, that game between the Broncos and the Saints would get postponed. Because, as the NFL has stated, games will not be postponed. And Adam Schefter tweeted this out from before the season. Games will not be postponed for any perceived competitive advantage. And so that was about as big a competitive advantage as there ever has been. So I just want to thank Roger Goodell and send him a fruit basket. I never thought in my life I would send Roger Goodell,
I know,
of all people, a fruit basket. But Roger Goodell, fruit for you, sir, for adhering to the rules and not postponing that. And the reason that meant a lot to me is because I had the Saints in Survivor. By the way, it's Gil Alexander, it's Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings right here on MSG+. Kelly, your fruit basket, sir.
Yeah, this is going out to Anthony Lynn. We talked a little bit about it last segment. I was able, I tied the Bills into a couple parlays yesterday on the money line. And no, was this game really ever in jeopardy from that standpoint? Probably not. But Anthony Lynn, thank you so much for just doing nothing to give your team an advantage whatsoever. It seems that the players can do everything they possibly can on the field for this guy, and then he gets involved, and it just turns into a disaster when it's managing the clock in critical situations. Gil, you did a great job going over all the situations in the game last segment, time after time before the half. At the end of the game, him just shooting himself in the foot and his team in the foot. When Justin Herbert, I did play pretty well down the stretch there, trying to get the team back into the game. These guys got three wins on this season against the Jets, Jags, and Bengals. It's ugly. And this clock management thing, we come in and talk about it every single week, and it gets worse and worse. Here was him post game attempting to explain his clock management choices.
The game after you completed that Hail Mary to Tyron Johnson, you guys just ran the ball. With 25 seconds left.
Completely miscommunication now. Completely. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I mean, with no timeouts, no time. 16 seconds, I think, on the clock. Yeah, that was completely miscommunication.
In the fourth quarter, at the end of the game, after you completed that Hail Mary to Tyron Johnson, you guys just ran the ball with 25 seconds left.
Completely miscommunication now. Completely. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I mean, with no timeouts, no time. 16 seconds, I think, on the clock. Yeah, that was completely miscommunication.
So was that your call? Was that Shane's call? When you say miscommunication?
You know what? I'm just going to leave it at that and just say that was miscommunication.
Okay. At the end of the first half, you opted not to use your timeouts earlier in that drive when you completed some passes inbounds. What was the thinking there behind not using your timeouts there?
I'm not sure. Before the half?
Yeah, at the end of the half. And then you ended up using your timeout before you punted. But previous, you know,
I used the timeout before we punted because I was actually going to go for it right there, you know. And I thought it was a little closer, but it was a full fourth and two. I didn't like the defense they came out in. I changed my mind and punted, you know. And no sense in taking all three timeouts to the locker room. So I burnt that timeout. I called it before you get ready to call the play.
Austin was tackled inbounds, and you let 15 seconds tick off the clock before you took the timeout. Why not take the timeout earlier there to save time?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. That wraps it up pretty well, guys. So I'm not sure.
The crew downstairs was so upset with his explanation, they wanted to do a fantasy in the middle of that.
Listen, I think that it made that press conference a little cooler than just the guitar riff in the middle of it, for sure. I also realized this whole fruit basket segment that, you know, that's a real picture of Kelly, and then they're lopping his head off and putting mine in your head him. Like that's a real picture. That. Yeah, that's an actual real picture of Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope Braxton Berrios got his last week. That's all I have to say.
We have moved to 50 in the Seahawks and Eagles game, so the total is up to 50.
All right, so let's reset, on what it is that we have bet in this football game, which is about to start. We're moving up close to kickoff in Philly, Seattle at Philadelphia. Philadelphia with a shot to get back and lead the NFC East. Seattle trying to secure their lead in the NFC West. My pre-flop is on the Seattle Seahawks in a teaser, 6-point teaser, with the over. So I'm basically teasing the Seattle down to win and trying to lower the total so that it is easier to cross the threshold of 43. Again, for those who don't know what teasers are, it is multiple legs in one bet. You get to manipulate the varying legs. In this case, I just have two legs. You get to manipulate them by 6, 6.5, or 7 points each. The catch being that you have to hit both legs once you do the manipulation, but that is what I've decided to do.
And we like to correlate these things. Of course, if you're going to play a same game teaser like Gil and I both did, you're going to put, and if you're going to go the side of the Seahawks, then you're going to play the over because you're looking at a game that's, you know, and going to be more high scoring. You think there's going to be more points involved. If you are looking to play the dog and you're going going to get more points, you would play the under because you're looking at a lower scoring game to where each one of those points means more, that you're teasing that number up. And so I did the same thing, Gil. I also have that. I just got a half point better on the total, so I'm at 42 and a half on that. I also had a ticket on the Seahawks from earlier in the week at 5.5. So do have those guys at 5.5 and a bunch of props tonight. Plus money prop on Russell Wilson over 2.5 touchdown passes. Russell Wilson over 27.5 rushing yards. Tyler Lockett anytime touchdown. That's correlated to the passing prop bet as well. Jalen Reagor over 47.5 yards, and that is kind of correlated to the fact that I have Carson Wentz over 34.5 pass attempts in the game. I think they'll be trailing. I think they'll have to throw a lot, and therefore kind of got those two in there together. And then Carson Wentz also over 11.5 rushing yards. We talk about this time and time again. When if you think a team's going to be down and they're going to be dropping back to pass every single time, especially if they're ever going to be facing soft coverage because maybe they're down a couple of scores or something like that, that's when we get these quarterback rushing props to go over all the time, because it's just, they look up, people are covered, but there's just this huge 9-yard, you know, gap in the field sitting right in front of them, and they just run and they take the 9 yards and they slide down and they live to see another day on a play. So it's all just kind of correlated as to how I think the game is going to go. Now, this game goes completely haywire and goes like I don't think, and the Eagles come out and control the game from the get-go, I'm probably going to lose every single one of these. But that's just that's kind of how it goes with these type of games. Like, I'm okay with correlating a bunch of plays into how I think a game's going to play out. If it plays out, I end up winning them all, usually, you know, more times than not, but you can lose them all as well. So something I wouldn't necessarily recommend for the intermediate, intermediate, you know, you've got to be willing to look up one night and go, oh, well, I lost 9 bets tonight.
If you're comfortable with that risk, and that usually takes a little time, then that is absolutely the way to go. By the way, before we get to yours, Kelly, we were on here, I think it was a couple weeks ago, before the Eagles-Browns game. And I said to you beforehand, because you laid out a very logical, cogent argument as to why you thought the Eagles were the play there. I didn't disagree with you, by the way. I'm not picking on you. And then I said to you afterwards, I go, but isn't this the game where if the Eagles don't come through, we swear off the Eagles? How do you feel being on the other side of the Eagles tonight? Because the Eagles are the team. We're one drive in, right? You're like, I can't believe I bet on this team.
Yeah, I know. And look, this number, if it got to the touchdown, which look, it's on the move. It might actually touch a full touchdown before we kick off here in a few minutes. Maybe the Eagles will probably be the play you're supposed to make. It's just I can't get there, especially with an offense just as potent. That's the difference in this game and the other game, right? Like the Browns, no way, shape, or form am I like scared of that offense at all.
Yeah.
I'm scared of the Seahawks offense, you know, and like it's certainly a team that can get in there and blow a game out. So I like to be on the side of the Seahawks in this one. I like to be on the side of points here. The more I dug into it, the more I believe the Eagles can at least score, you know, 14-17. In this one, on this pathetic secondary. And if that's the case, hopefully that's all we need in order to get the over for us, because the Seahawks should do their part.
Jamal Adams, for as great as he is in terms of getting to the quarterback, can't cover anybody.
No. They do get Shaq Griffin back in this game, and they also get Ethan Pochich back. And like getting your center back, and you're going to say like, oh, what is it? Listen, a center, ask any of these offensive linemen, you know, how important a center is to what goes on that unit. And they're calling out coverages and they're switching things up and stuff. I mean, it's huge to get that back. And on the Eagles side, Lane Johnson, of course, has moved to IR. And so he's not going to be out there for this team. So just a lot of things working in favor of the Seahawks, including getting back Chris Carson. And yeah, running backs don't matter, I understand. But Chris Carson is by far the best back that they have for this team. And, you know, whether you think he's a guy that can make a huge difference here or not, he's certainly a guy that they can do more with coming out of the backfield. He catches passes really well. And, of course, you said the stat in the first hour, if you're just joining us on the radio side, I mean, Wentz sacked 40 times. He's fumbled 10 times. He's thrown 14 interceptions. They're 32nd in sack rate allowed this year. And so even with as poor a pass rush as the Seahawks have, you got to think just by sheer ineptitude that they're going to get pressure on him and be able to get into his face.
And
you know?
No Lane Johnson anymore for the Eagles either. Kelly, you have anything pre-flop?
Yeah, I went. I didn't get it as good at the best number. I'm laying the full 6.5 in this game with the Seahawks. I wanted to wait a bit this week and see how injuries, some of these injury reports worked out. Like Matt said, I think getting Carson back tonight, he might not be the best running back in the league, but this team, especially this year, has just felt different when he has been on the field. And I think it's affecting multiple areas of their offense. So that was big coming back. And I'm going to make it real simple. Matt always gives great breakdowns. Gil, I'm going to say the Eagles are about down in Bears territory with me, where if they're going up against any team that's halfway decent, I'll lay the points. This is fine. I will lay 6.5. And like you were starting to get at, Gil, I would be those are the type of game I'll get mad if I'm losing that game with the Eagles. If I lose this game tonight, whatever. I'm good now. And I'm on these teams that I bet against this year, and they are such trash. I'll be fine if I lose with this bet tonight.
By the way, nice job on at least for now. Great job on North Carolina.
Yeah, 47-17 run they're on since I made that bet. That helps.
That is correct.
That's good.
That is a massive swing, obviously, in any basketball game. Carolina now up on UNLV, 47-31, 16 minutes left in the second half. We are underway in Philly. Seattle kicking off to Philadelphia. It is a return of kick from Boston. He gets to the 19-yard line. I don't know why anybody returns kickoffs anymore.
It makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
It really does.
You're not getting back to this.
Something goes wrong or there's a flag every time.
Everyone knew this because this is what all the teams do, but Seattle did win the toss and deferred. So they will get the ball in the second half.
Kickoff return from Boston Scott there. So it'll be first and 10 for the Eagles at their own 19. As this gets underway, guys, we always say this, the point of this show primarily is in-game wagering. Is there something specific that we're looking for? I'm going to assume it's the Eagles going out in front first and then jumping in on the Seahawks.
I could get back in on the Seahawks, I think.
I would have no hesitation of getting back in on the Seahawks, Gil. I think that's probably, I would say I have less of a feel in the total of this game, so I don't know that I'm going to be doing anything live with that, but live on the Seahawks, if the Eagles go out early, absolutely.
Brad Allen's our referee. Very first thing that happens in this game from scrimmage is the Seahawks jumping offside. Carson Wentz apparently hard counted them into an offside, so it's going to be first and 5 from their own 24. So good start there for the Eagles. First and 5. That's actually what I'm looking for here to get in on the Seahawks. I would love to see the Eagles matriculate the ball down the field here, field goal or touchdown. Mm-hmm. I will happily jump in on the Seahawks.
Yeah. So this thing did go off at 6.5, a little bit juiced to the Seahawks on the 6.5, and it did go off at 50 in the total. So this thing has gone up a full 1.5 throughout the course of the day.
Oh my goodness. Wentz attempts a little pass right there. Incomplete. Intended for Richard Rodgers. I don't know about too dangerous, but it certainly wasn't a clear pass. It's going to be 2nd and 5 right there for the Eagles as that one falls incomplete. Speaking of, you mentioned the Bears, Kelly, there moments ago. I'll get back to that thought. Here are the DraftKings splits, by the way, on this game, pre-flop splits. Again, the only thing we don't know, these are exclusive to this show, and thank you, DraftKings, for these. We don't know exactly when all of these were bet, but it was all Seahawks money. I mean, this line went nowhere but up during the course of the week. And by the way, Carson Wentz just absolutely misses Greg Ward Jr. on a slant there over the middle. He was wide open, so it's going to be 3rd and 5.
Yo, these numbers good as of noon Eastern today.
As of noon Eastern, but it's still Seahawks money all week. So 95% of the handle and 91% of the bets. No surprise whatsoever, Matt.
No.
On the point spread on the Seahawks. More money on the over. That's how people's brains are wired. People love points. And then on the money line, and maybe this is part of money line parlays, we still don't know how much of that's incorporated here. 92% of handle and bets on the Seahawks at the price at noon, locked in at -278 anyway.
Yeah, we see this a ton as well. These on Monday night, the favorite with the on the money line, typically any parlays that are still live or any that were just made are all rolling in to this Monday night game. The books are always rooting for the underdog typically on these Monday night games.
Can I just say something? The Seahawks jumped off sides to give the Eagles a 1st and 5 at their own 24. Carson Wentz, well, that one might have been caught. First down, throws a little dangerous pass to Richard Rodgers, goes incomplete. Completely misses Greg Ward Jr. on a slant on second down. And on that one right there, throws it to Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon couldn't come up with the catch. It was low and outside. Would have been a nice catch and might have still been short of the sticks anyway by a few inches or even a yard. And so after having a 1st and 5, the Eagles are 3 and out.
He definitely made it difficult on Alshon regardless. Yeah. Like any way you look at it, he made it difficult on him. And guys, I think our dreams of being able to get an end game at a more favorable number –
How often, I would love to know a stat, how often first and fives don't get converted?
It's a great question.
We never see that stat, right? But that was brutal right there to start things off. And that's 29 seconds into the game. That's all that took, three incomplete passes.
I mean, I would think 70%+ of the time.
I think it's higher.
The only thing that keeps me from saying way higher than that is how many penalties we see right
penalties
now.
Penalties would knock that.
Penalties and sacks move you back, obviously. But
that's right. Wilson and shotgun to start things off, wide open on the right side. Chris Carson
out of the backfield.
But a flag. We'll see what that is, but probably on the Seahawks here early. All indications are that it is. Oh, no, not at all. Yes, it is on the Seahawks. Pardon me. So that'll come back. Easy first down play, but that gets nullified by Mikey Iupati. Illegal use of the hands on the offensive line. You know what I saw a lot of yesterday, and I kept saying, we see it every week, where defensive linemen go hands to the face or, you know, graze helmets. We saw it a lot in the Kansas City game, some controversy. Jason Pierre-Paul went nuts on one that was called against him. By the way, he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets called.
If you touch him in the head, they're going to call it.
Of all the things that that I don't understand is, that seems like such an avoidable penalty.
Yeah.
And defensive linemen chronically are knocking the quarterback's head. And it's an epidemic, and it just never seems to stop. So it's going to be first and 20 for the Seahawks as we go to break, looking for in-game action right here on Primetime Action on MSG+.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's easy. Sign up with the promo code VSIN to claim your exclusive offer. Plus, think you qualify to join the DraftKings VIP program? You could enjoy exclusive benefits, promotional offers, top-tier customer support, and personalized contests. Visit DraftKings.com/VSIN to learn more. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER-GIL. Matt.
Seahawks matriculating the ball down the field. First and 10 just outside the red zone now on their opening drive. Russell Wilson, a cool 4-for-4 for 43. You know.
3-for-31 to Metcalf already. Feeling pretty good. Looking pretty good.
Timeout. Oh, no. Not a timeout on the field. Thought there was. Seahawks will go first and 10 here. Danielle, you have a fruit basket to give us?
Yes. I didn't know how the fruit concept worked. Now I get it. So now I want to give one out.
It's so complicated.
You guys made it sound complicated.
Yeah.
So I want to give mine to the Vanderbilt kicker, Sarah Fuller, was the first woman to play in a Power 5 conference. So now she's played in the game. She was their main kicker against Missouri and, you know, first female. Plus, she's the keeper for the soccer team.
She is.
And she just led the team to a championship, I think, just but a few weeks ago.
SEC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Yeah. So Matt, fruit basket to her.
Did she help you win a bet?
See, the key to the fruit basket thing is you have to win a bet based on it.
Yeah.
Well, you could have.
You could have.
You could have. And I don't
could
think
have.
Truer words have, you know, never been spoken.
How many times have a kicker decided a game?
A lot.
Too many. Too many. An annoying amount.
Right. You know what?
We'll allow it.
We'll allow it. Okay. This week only.
Yes.
This week, yeah.
This week only. Your honorary fruit bat. Next week,
it has you'll to have be someone
to help you win a bet.
Well, you'll have a graphic with a beautiful.
I normally have my shirt says "Bet on Women," so I bet on her. That's okay. My win.
All right,
there you have it.
See, we got to get you a graphic with a nice plaid shirt so you can fit in with everybody else.
Yeah, okay. Throw that lumberjack shirt on her.
Right.
We have fisticuffs in the Eagles Seahawks game. A Donnybrook MLA.
Nice. I
just wanted to use Donnybrook.
Donnybrook's a solid term.
Yeah, it's all right though. What is an old-fashioned Donnybrook? Someone's got to get the origin of that.
You got to square off like this, Gil. It's a lot of fighting like that. Throw up your duke, Gilliam.
That's right. What was this motion? Do you think? By the way, speaking of that, since we have a moment here, because they're throwing unsportsmanlike
penalty
on the Eagles, so that's not good for Philly because that'll go half the distance to the goal line. It'll be first and goal inside the 10 or just out or just at the 10. DK Metcalf was the who is that, right? Is that Bobby Slay? Yeah. Didn't really like what was happening there with DK Metcalf, and he started throwing punches. Darius Slay, by the way. Darius Slay starts throwing punches, and he got flagged for that. And DK Metcalf is sort of like, you picking on me? You want to fight me? Flagged.
Of all the guys in all of the NFL.
Yeah.
You pick that guy.
So 9:08 left in the first quarter. What's the live line on this right now? Is they're knocking at the door? Like, got to be double digits.
11.5.
11.5. So a little bit of a split between a touchdown here from the opening line to a field goal from the opening line.
51 on the total. So we're up a point from where we went off.
First and 10 from the 11. Russell Wilson pitches it back. That's going to be David Moore going the other way, and that's not going to get very far. In fact, it'll be second and 10. And now another flag comes up.
Could have been my first touchdown right there.
Oh, you had David Moore?
That was,
in our little thing.
Yeah.
What's this flag for now?
It would want me nothing but pride, but I mean, still.
Yeah. A little bit of a flag fest here in the early going. DK is smiling. I don't know what happened here. Let's see the replay on this. They just take a shot at DK. Ooh, I don't know what happened there. Anyway, we'll sort out the flag here as the Seahawks are in a favorable position. This is one of those things where it's like first and 10 at the 11. By the way, personal foul on the Eagles, Malik Jackson. So consecutive personal foul penalties now on the Eagles, who, remember, started this game with a first.
Oh, yeah, he just came and hit DK Metcalf for no reason.
That's why DK was smiling. That's
a good team right there.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good team.
So Philadelphia Eagles.
Like, you need to help them score here.
Had a 1st and 5 on the first drive, couldn't do anything with it, and now are just throwing this game into a flag fest with consecutive personal foul penalties on defense, and it's going to be 2nd and goal for the Seahawks after a 3-yard run there as they are on the doorstep. So Seahawks, we'll see if they get a field goal out of this. Looks like at a bare minimum, that's what they'll have an attempt at, but they're trying to get it into the end zone now, just a couple yards outside of the goal line as the Eagles are doing Eagles things. This has not been a good start for the Philadelphia Eagles on primetime television. Like you said, Matt, as if the Seahawks need help. We'll get back to it. We got to take a break. We got more to come. In fact, we'll take a look at some NFC West odds as well. We haven't done that tonight. We'll do that next right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
Holiday shopping weekend is the perfect time to sign up for VSiN. New subscribers get 25% off the regular price of an annual all-access membership, plus a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Subscribe today and you'll get our brand new College Hoops Guide, which is overflowing with everything you need for the season. Our daily best bets emails, point spread weekly, 24/7 video streaming, and the chance to pick up a stylish new VSiN t-shirt, mug, or hat for the holidays. Don't miss this deal. Huge annual savings, plus a $30 credit to use on great VSiN gear. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. Great to see Danielle back. Let me just describe what happened for those who missed it. 1st and goal for Seattle at the Philadelphia 5-yard line after 2 consecutive personal foul calls on the Eagles defense. Carlos Hyde up the middle for 2 yards. Russell Wilson on 2nd and goal from the 3, then airmails DK Metcalf. 3rd and goal at the 3. The Seahawks were definitely prepared to run 2 plays. They hand the ball out to Carlos Hyde. He gets 1 yard. So it's 4th and goal at the 2. Seattle then calls timeout, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I don't know. Maybe let's see what they call up here. And they run a play where it appears that Russell Wilson had an option to hand it off to David Moore coming around from the outside or tuck it under, fake the handoff, and run it himself. He ends up handing it off to David Moore, 5-yard loss, Eagles ball, still 0-0. And what does that do to the live line?
We're at 7. We are at 7 in favor of the Seahawks. 50 is still our. Well, actually, that's gonna be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back to 44 and a half now on the total. I mean, you have Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and you run two straight run plays against this, against, again, the one thing the Eagles do well, they defend the run. They defend the run pretty well. But hey, let's be cute and run a little wide receiver end around touch pass thingy.
They called it touch pass. That's, they called the timeout to go touch pass thingy coming up.
Like, come on. And then you lose 4 yards to where they're not even on the 1 yard line and 2 yard line
five
anymore.
Yards. Yeah. 5 yards. Don't sell them short. Eagles do nothing on first down, handoff, run the ball, don't even get back to the line of scrimmage. And there's Jamal Adams making a play coming up, sussing that one out.
Still 6.5 here in Vegas. I think I'm adding more on the Seahawks right now.
I may as well.
I
may as well. Let me see what I get.
Because you got the Eagles backed up a bit here, and what did we see out of those first two drives of the game? It was everything we expected. The Eagles a disaster, and the Seahawks went right down the field.
Yeah. Where I am able to wager, though, I am not getting a Delta line, so I am not... oh, yes, I am. I'm getting a 6.5 here on the Seahawks. Second down is also a run. That does get 3 yards, but that's it. So it's going to be third and seven for the Eagles now at their own 10-yard line. And I am grabbing the Seahawks. We'll see if I get spun here at -6.5.
They only gave him two there, or one. Third and eight. They only gave him 1 yard on that. His knee must have hit like way before he kind of fell forward there or something.
I'm getting spun, Kelly Bidlin. Not enough. There we go. -6.
Ooh, you got it in.
Seahawks -6.5. Which means
it might be tough at the third down.
Which means this could be a good play for the Eagles.
2 for 22 on third down the last three games for the Eagles.
Remember their Super Bowl year, the year they won it all. They were incredible on third downs. And there's Wentz over the top, got a man, not a chance.
No way.
No chance of being converted.
Never was going to happen.
So it's going to be 4th and 8. Griffin on the coverage. 4th and 8 for the Eagles, deep in their own territory. They're going to have to punt it away. So I'm glad I got my -6.5 on the Seahawks in there. Another 3 and out for the Eagles.
I like the Rager target, at least. I'll take the target. Looking his way, I'll take that.
But he completely, Griffin was all on top of Rager, and not in an interference kind of way, but just there was no separation whatsoever. That pass was no better than a jump ball. So Shaq Griffin, Pro Bowl selection last year, breaks that one up. And from deep inside his end zone, the Eagles will punt here. And it's not the greatest punt in the world either. It's going to be fielded.
Oh,
ooh,
boy.
Ooh, that's his own teammate knocking into him. But David Moore does hold on to the catch. But that ball's at the Eagles' 45-yard line. So that ball did not get to midfield. And the Seahawks will have it once again, 1st and 10 in plus territory. But David Moore's teammate bounced into him as he made that catch. So fortunate that Moore did not muff that.
And we have no idea how this is going to turn out, guys. But, you know, y'all got a great line right there. Already moved to 8.5 with that bad punt right there. 45 on the total.
You always worry about it when you're in-game betting, not during commercials.
Yeah.
So not during breaks. You worry that when you put in the wager, whether it's at any shop, DraftKings or otherwise, that they have access to the next play prior to you having access, probably a truism. So when they make the decision to let it go through, you do wonder briefly, hey, does Wentz complete this next pass for a first down? In fact, he did not. By the way, I'm not even indicating anything nefarious. That's just our technology versus theirs oftentimes. Maybe you want to indicate something nefarious. I'm not. But we're in a good position with that wager right there. Timed when we did get it.
If you're going to, just going back to this last, if you're going to run a jet sweep with a wide receiver, you have the biggest, strongest, most physically gifted wide receiver in the entire league.
Who had just gotten shots at him two consecutive plays.
His body
and you run it with David Moore instead of DK Metcalf. Like, DK Metcalf, I would have him, if he said, hey, I'm going to run through that brick wall, and he'd be like, I bet you I'm going to run through that brick wall. Like, you know, you probably are going to run through that brick wall.
Again, made more egregious by the fact that they called a timeout to call that.
I mean, like, and so you don't call it with him. Like, if you're going to run that play, at least I can go, well, I mean, you tried it with that man beast right there, you know?
So -8.5, 45, is that the number you have right now?
We got 9.5 now at DraftKings.
9.5 as the Seahawks money comes in game. Let me just say this while we're in break, because there's a few games we haven't gotten to yesterday, but Kelly referenced the Bears at one point earlier. Mitch Trubisky and the Bears play the Packers last night. The final score, 41-25, much more cosmetically close, in quotes, than it actually was. Bears had 15 unanswered late. It was 41-10 at one point. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky, after a break, just the same guy that we always thought he was.
Yeah. And like so that those points were in, they were playing the softest of soft defense you could ever see. So, I mean, that was all complete garbage time. Nothing to pull from that at all from Trubisky's performance. That stat line right there is aided by, again, the softest coverage you will see in the NFL. This Bears team is in bad shape because they've won too many games now to get any of the top tier quarterbacks. So they're going to have to decide, how far do we go here?
Yeah.
Because
I think we've reached the end, haven't we?
Yeah.
They are a bottom five team in the NFL.
Yeah. So they're gonna have to make a move, though. Is what I'm saying. Like they're gonna have to make it. They're gonna have to make a decision. Like either move up in the draft or go after a free agent or something.
Coach might not be safe either.
Yeah,
you should go get a veteran, tested quarterback like Nick Foles. Oh wait, never mind.
From 5-1 to 5-6, the Bears. We'll come back. Seahawks and Eagles all night long, right here at VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's easy. Sign up with the promo code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to claim your exclusive offer. Plus, think you qualify to join the DraftKings VIP program? You can enjoy exclusive benefits, promotional offers, top-tier customer support, and personalized contests. Visit DraftKings.com/VSIN to learn more. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I cannot wait to hear about why Matt Brown is gesturing.
Well, Matt, you can take it away, but let me just set it up for people. The Seahawks had a 4th-and-2
right
after they started that drive in plus territory. They used another timeout because they couldn't get the play off in time.
Sure.
Timeout was called from the sidelines. So that's two timeouts burned. And then on 4th-and-2, Russell Wilson dropped back to pass. Guess he figured he thought he had a lane.
I guess. I mean, that seems like a poor decision by
Didn't
him on both parts, because they showed blitz to him. Yeah. Like that should have been a hot route, like instant, just out of his hand instantly. And I'm not one to question Russell Wilson, but I mean, still, it's just like it's been an interesting first quarter, to say the least. Yeah.
It's Philadelphia ball, 1st-and-10 in the best field position they've had thus far tonight.
Yeah, on the 38 is where they will take over. And what that does to the line now is all the way back to where we started.
Yeah,
back to 5.5.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember that 6.5 we thought was so good moments ago? It might be good again,
yeah,
but it certainly isn't right at the moment.
Right.
3:39 left. Wilson 6-for-8 for 44 yards.
Total has plummeted to 41.5.
Ooh. So below tease range even at this point. Early still, again, still in the first quarter, but the Seahawks burning two timeouts, failing on a couple fourth downs. The Eagles don't have a first down yet in two tries. Not exactly a masterpiece.
No. We talk about some of these. We've had some bad, quote unquote, bad games on paper that have turned out to be super fun, like, you know, great in game opportunities, different things like that. And then we get a game here where, yeah, we understand that, you know, the Eagles aren't very good, but still there should be like some scoring. It should be some moving the ball. And instead we've had 12 minutes, I guess now almost, of really head scratching decisions here. Really, really interesting calls. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to, if we end up losing this bet, Gil,
just
going back to that first possession, I'm just like, I mean,
it has been set up for the Seahawks twice now, and twice they have failed. While we're still in break, Danielle, though, on the heels of Justin Fields and Ohio State missing another game,
right?
Let's do Heisman odds, because this has been a journey this year.
Well, so I feel bad because when we first were looking at these at the start of the season, you said that it was Trevor Lawrence's to lose. And yes, unfortunately, that looks like what's going to happen here. So Mac Jones and Kyle Trask leading it. But we can take a look at how the odds have moved. So if you take a look at our graphic here, October 26th up there, November 2nd, November 24th, and then this morning, you can see well, particularly Trevor Lawrence falling through, right, at the favorite at minus 176 in October, only at 4-1 now, I believe, 5-1. But Kyle Trask, Mac Jones could see each other in the SEC championship game, perhaps. Alabama, Florida, I mean, do you see any value here?
Here's the thing. It's definitely, and you see Kyle Trask, right, 16-1, 12-1, 8-1 at one point. And we said at 8-1. That's when we're like, maybe you take a bite of Kyle Trask here. But look, this was Trevor Lawrence's to lose. Mm. He got COVID, missed two games. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields has now missed because Ohio State games have been canceled. There, by the way, is some thought that Ohio State might be in jeopardy of missing another. That's not true yet. But
right,
anyway, this is the year of COVID. And so this market, more than any, in either college or pro, has been in flux in a way that nothing else has. So this it's really Trask versus Jones, because Lawrence and Fields can't win this, right?
Yeah, no, and this has been fascinating. Like, I don't bet a ton of these, but I have followed them over the years. I've never seen a market move like this, I've never seen a market move like this, to where guys are just every single week, like flip flopping, guys coming out of nowhere, guys popping. I mean, I've never seen anything like
that. It becomes like great show content, obviously, just to track this stuff. When it's, you sit there and you think, okay, these four guys, I could have gotten it, 5-1 or better at different points. It's been a wild season, and the COVID stuff, obviously, it's affected almost everybody on that list, and it's making this interesting. But I'm with you, Gil. I think it's down to Trask or Jones, and that's about it. I don't think Lawrence or Fields really even have much of a chance.
What happens if they miss games? Well, Jones or Trask, because that's a possibility.
Someone could win this, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. Someone could win this by attrition.
Yeah.
Right? Just by being the last guy standing.
Right.
And Mac Jones very quietly,
it's just been doing his thing. He's just been doing his thing. Like, he just goes out and has like these pretty, pretty awesome games every week. And no one cares about Mac Jones. Like no one cares about Mac Jones.
It would be the least buzzworthy Heisman winner.
It would.
Pretty much that I can remember.
People would be watching and they would go, I've never even heard of Mac Jones. Like, there'd be people, there would be literally like sports fans who would be like, I don't even know what a Mac Jones is. Like, I have no idea.
Mac Jones.
It's a third consecutive third and out for the Eagles.
Is Carson Wentz alive?
Add to the sack total. Yeah. Add to the sack total.
Now, here's one where he didn't feel that coming. That wasn't necessarily his fault. That's a coverage sack. But on the second, you see the second down play while we were talking about the Heisman. Bobby Wagner was about 40 yards downfield for the Seahawks, made a play on an attempted pass to Dallas Goedert. So Cameron Johnson is in for his punt yet again. David Moore back to field this all the way back at his 10. He's got room, but there's nothing but Eagles in front of him. Shuffles out to the left a little bit, but it's going to be Seahawks first and 10, right around the 15 or 16 yard line to start the next drive. So three and outs for the Eagles in that first quarter. But they got to be thrilled that this is just a 0-0 game, because they could be down. At a minimum, they should be down, you would think, 10-0.
We are nearly through a quarter of football. Carson Wentz has two more passing yards tonight than you and I, Gil.
Wow. And I haven't thrown a pass.
One for six for 2 yards.
On the bright side, DK Metcalf halfway to his receiving prop.
If you had DK Metcalf, which apparently I should have done, I should have gone that route, But this is just Wentz is. We might see Hurts next series. I mean, like, this guy is just.
Well, why wouldn't at this point? Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
You just throw him in there.
What are you waiting for?
You used a second round pick on him. Just get him in there.
And I think
if not, then what did you do?
By the way, if he fails, it's different from the first three drives.
The one argument would be we're in playoff contention, right? Cool. Right. Congratulations. Is it the first time you've ever made the playoffs? No. Then I don't care, because you're not getting past the first round.
Well, I'm not advocating like he comes in for the rest of the game. I'm just saying change it up a little bit. Maybe a play here, maybe a drive there. I'm not saying bench Carson Wentz yet. By the way,
I was going to say
then bench.
I'm not going to say yet, but at least a change up. Doug Peterson. Here's the thing, and Eagles fans, if you're out there, I'm just going to say this: you won the Super Bowl using replay rules from the future. Again, remember Chris Collinsworth during that Super Bowl. I understand nothing now. The Eagles won on replay rules that were supposed to be instituted for the following NFL season. They were not consistent with adjudicating plays that particular year. And Doug Peterson, they were unbelievable on third downs, Doug Peterson and Frank Reich. And you wonder, was it Frank Reich, or did the Eagles just keep hitting royal flushes on their fourth down gambles? Because ever since then, they have been nothing more, and I'm going to be kind, a mediocre football team.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's going to have to be some major decisions made. I understand that you married yourself to Carson Wentz, but I mean, is this one of those scenarios where you're just going to let the franchise sink because you made a, let's not call it a bad, but you know, that injury might have just fundamentally changed who Carson Wentz is as an NFL quarterback.
It's like the Robert Griffin III thing, who we're going to see, we hope, Wednesday against the Steelers. Rookie of the year. Mm. Beat Andrew Luck for rookie of the year. Right. Was phenomenal. Injuries completely changed his career.
And like Wentz, the pick might not have been bad for Wentz, but because of what has happened, he's just not the same guy right now. And you have to, as a franchise, I think, make that decision.
The RG3 Carson Wentz comparison, though, holds in one other factor that I think not enough is made of, which is after their injury, physically they became more limited. But their game changed, it seemed, in other ways. It's almost like there were some fundamentals that both in rehabbing or in coming back after the injury, RG3's mechanics went out the window after the injury. Carson Wentz holds on to the ball in a way that he never did before the injury. Now, maybe it's related, maybe it's not, but it's just a complete fail in the type of football player they were pre and post-injury. As opposed to pre.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Which you can at DraftKings, if you could bet what the next play was. When on that first and 10 with Russ getting sacked that last time out, I would have bet my whole bankroll that they came out and ran on first down, which it is predictable. Pete Carroll, oh, we got sacked on the last play. Let's run the ball into the team that only gives up 3.4 yards per carry on the season. The Eagles, by the way, the only thing they do is defend the run well, but let's go ahead and continue to sit here and pound it into the line for 1 yard a carry. I mean, this is just insanity, man.
Eagles defense has toughened up for sure, though. Again, got the Seahawks off the field on two consecutive fourth downs on drives. Now with just over a minute left in what has been an interminable first quarter, 3rd and 9 for the Seahawks, deep in their own territory. Wilson in shotgun. It's at their own 17, and they're going to let the play clock run out, and that's a delay of game on the Seahawks, unless they use their third timeout.
It does not look like they did.
Nope. That's going to be a flag.
This has been a horrible first quarter for this team.
Terrible.
Horrible first quarter for this team.
It's like dueling, you know, ineptitude.
Who could screw up more?
Well, the Eagles just can't do anything. And Seahawks just are like trying to make it harder on themselves. Like, let's make it hard. Let's get to the 2 yard line and run a wide receiver jet with David Moore.
He's still
like, I can't get over it.
All right, well, it's 3rd and 14. We'll take you to this play into break. At their own 12 now, Wilson, quick pass. That is not going to get to the sticks. DK Metcalf made an effort, though, but still shy, and the Seahawks will have to punt again. 55 seconds left in the first quarter in a scoreless game in Philly. What's the opposite of a masterpiece? Yeah. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.